Welcome back to the program. Well, my next guest is a very well-known Democrat, but was forced to run as an independent after other Democrats refused to let him compete fairly in the Democrat primaries for president. He is being openly targeted by Joe Biden's team because they know he is gaining momentum in the polls and is threatening their grip on power. I'm, of course, talking about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Mr. Kennedy, welcome back to the program.
Steve, thank you so much for having me. The last time I talked to you, I was at the top of the mountain in Jackson Hole, and today I'm in downtown Austin. But it's wonderful to talk to you.
Yeah, and a lot of miles in between. And let's start with that. Let's talk about the state of your campaign, the effort to get your name on the ballot in all 50 states. How's that going?
Well, we're going to be on the ballot in all 50 states by mid-July. Two days ago, we got on the ballot in Iowa in a single day. And so, you know, we're doing a lot of things that people said we couldn't do, but we're going to do them, and we're going to do them very, very quickly. We'll be announcing 2 to 3 states from here to July every week. So we've got teams in the field. We have the biggest field organization of any campaign. We have over 100,000 volunteers. We're working for us. We're in 50 states, and we're going to have a better ground game because of this, because we're being forced to do it this way.
Yeah,
we're going to have a better ground game in November than any other campaign.
What about the cancel culture, the censorship? You faced it ever since announcing your run for president. To me, and I think this is fair, that doesn't seem like the American thing to do from where I stand. We have conversations. We compare ideas. We have an exchange of ideas in America. That's the way it's supposed to work, isn't it?
Yeah, that is the way it's supposed to work. I mean, the big advantage of democracy, according to the way the framers saw the world, was that actually totalitarian regimes have a huge advantage on democracy because of the efficiency with which they can operate. They only need a single person to make a decision. It doesn't have the clumsiness and the slowness of democracy. But the asset that gives democracy an advantage over totalitarian regimes is that the policies that get to the top tend to float there after being annealed in the furnace of debate and in the marketplace of ideas. And what we're seeing in our country and really all over the world, Steve, right now, is the deliberate and purposeful suppression of speech by governments, including our government. I just won a case of the Federal Court of Appeals against the Biden administration for censoring me for using federal agencies, including the CIA, the FBI, the IRS, and CISA and NIH to censor me. But also there's just this kind of corporate advertiser-driven censorship that is happening all over where there's certainly issues that people aren't allowed to talk about. People aren't allowed to talk about COVID or express doubts about some of the countermeasures, about the lockdowns, et cetera, about the Ukraine war, about many, many other issues that we ought to be debating openly. Censorship is never a good thing. There's no time in history where we can look back and say the people who are censoring free speech, we're the good guys.
Ever.
And you know, this week there's been these very, very alarming developments in Brazil, in Ireland, in Scotland, and elsewhere, where the governments have literally come out and said, we are controlling speech now. Political speech is no longer free. You have to, you know, if it departs from government orthodoxies, it's going to be a criminal offense. It's shocking. This is happening all over.
It is shocking. I think we first saw that rolled out during COVID. Obviously, you were a big critic of the vaccines and so forth, but I want to ask you about this. Do you think there's a plan to launch some sort of a health scare in 2024? I ask that because we're hearing all this noise now about avian flu, and magically, they have a vaccine for that, too. How fortunate for all of us. They have a new vaccine to experiment on avian flu, and it concerns me when I watched all the lockdowns and the shutdowns and the censorship surrounding COVID that they'd go back to that playbook, they being the people in power. What do you make of that?
I try never to speculate about what people have planned or what's going on in their heads, but I agree with you that this is, it's alarming. It's troubling what's happening now. And that, you know, we saw that COVID was used by vested interests and power to shift wealth upward. $4 trillion in wealth got shifted upward to this new oligarchy of billionaires. We created President Trump and President Biden created through their lockdowns a billionaire a day for 500 days. And we bankrupted the middle class in this country. We're now facing a $34 trillion debt, about a half of that run up by President Trump and President Biden. They've run up higher debts than all the presidents combined in 283 years before them, all the way back to George Washington. And, you know, that kind of debt ultimately is going to concentrate power also in the central banks and the central government and deprive power, deprive the rest of us from exercising sovereignty over our lives.
Well, it sends power out of the country. And on that note, I know you've heard about the World Health Organization, its push for a global treaty on health. And you talk about Brazil, Ireland, Scotland losing control over the freedom of speech completely. Should America have anything to do with this World Health Organization Global Treaty on Health? Because they would basically take control of policy if they declare an emergency, whether it's on climate change or avian flu or anything they decide is an emergency. And it takes away our rights as American citizens and our government as well. To me, it seems incredibly dangerous.
Yeah, not only should we not be cooperating, then we should be their active adversary. We should be looking for racketeering prosecutions against them. You know, the World Health Organization once did a very important job, which was maintain and build medical clinics in underserved parts of the world to help, again, underserved populations with hygiene, with sanitation, with food production, and nutrition. That's very important. But what they're doing now is they've shifted their resources toward these, you know, control of pandemics. And they're in every one of these pandemics, their plan is to clamp down totalitarian controls, to limit personal freedoms across the planet, to put power over our lives into the hands of the elites and to shift wealth upward. And it is exactly the opposite. They're doing everything in league with the World Economic Forum in Davos, which is the Billionaires Boys Club, where they assemble every year to plan the world for the rest of us. And these people should not be humored and shouldn't be pandered. They should be prosecuted.
You know, you mentioned something there, and I've heard you speak on this before, and I'd like you to elaborate a little bit, and that is the intersection of big pharma and our food supply. Look, we have the least healthy nation on earth. We have big pharma, and every time big pharma gets bigger, our health seems to decrease, to decline here in the United States. How is that even possible? We have all these pills, magic pills for everything, and yet the health of this nation continues to go down the hill. Why?
Yeah, I mean, our food supply is poison. We have a commoditized food supply now that is very, we used to have nutrient-dense foods, and now there's no nutrient density. What we're eating is not really food, it's filler, and it's contaminated by 1,000 chemicals that are banned in Europe and other countries, and it's no wonder we have the sickest population on earth. We have the highest chronic disease rate. When my uncle was president, 6% of Americans had chronic disease. Today it's 60%. And our healthcare costs have gone up from about 4 to 6% of GDP when my uncle was president to about 20% of GDP today. So it's $4.3 trillion that we're using to treat chronic disease. The cost of treating, Steve, of diabetes alone is now equivalent to the military budget. And when I was a kid, a typical pediatrician would see a single case of juvenile diabetes in his lifetime. Today, 2 out of every 3 kids who walks through his office door is pre-diabetic or diabetic. Something is really going wrong.
It's a national tragedy. I mean, I don't know how much we describe that. I know you're tight on time here, so I want to ask you one quick question. Then you've got a big event in Michigan I want to tell folks about. But Joe Biden doesn't appear that he's going to debate. I don't know if he can debate. I'll leave that up to the people to decide. But if Joe Biden didn't debate, would you sit down with Donald Trump for a debate? It's just a question that occurred to me here this morning. Would you do that?
Of course I would. I will debate any of the leading presidential candidates at any time. I look forward to that. And I think I'm going to have, you know, the metrics. I already have the metrics to qualify for the three debates that have been scheduled beginning September 18th. And I expect to be on the debating stage.
Well, based on your polling numbers, I believe that you should be on the stage. Based on your polling numbers, as high as 15 and 20% right now. A very strong showing, as you know, historically, for a candidate not in the Republican or Democrat Party. Now, I just do want to tell people, big event in Michigan this weekend for you and your campaign. You're going to host a Night of Laughter. RFK Jr. to host a Night of Laughter. It's April the 21st at the Royal Oak Music Theater. Great place, by the way. I saw Frank Zappa there a number of years ago. So it's a great place to go. You'll enjoy it. But what can you tell me about it?
Among the comedians, we have a big list of great comedians. Rob Schneider, Dave Landau, Heather J., Mike Binder, Trey Stewart, and Erica Rhodes. And we did one of these in Los Angeles last month. We had tremendous success. It was a really funny evening, and I look forward to seeing people there. People should go to kennedy24.com/events, and they can find all the particulars there, Steve. Thank you so much for having me. It's April 21st.
April 21st, Royal Oak Music Theater, Royal Oak, Michigan, just outside of Detroit. Kennedy24.com if you want to find out more. Mr. Kennedy, always appreciate the conversation, sir. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me, Steve.
All right, sir. There you have it. At Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Again, that's a night of laughter with RFK Jr. as he raises money. But he talks about serious topics as well. Wish we had more time, but that's where we have to leave it for today.